Chapter 11, The Plan. Adam Egan and I sit across from each other in a red plastic booth at the coffee shop in Whiskey Pete's. Now, Whiskey Pete's is a small casino that sits in a small town called Prim, right at the border of California and Nevada, and it's designed for people who can't wait the extra 90 minutes to feed the gamble in their gut. The stakes are low and the tables are dingy. Every time I'm here, I wonder if some tourist from a faraway land has ever flown into L.A., rented a car, and was on his way to Vegas when the poor bastard saw Prim and Whiskey Pete's and the other couple of casinos and the water parks, and he figured it must be Las Vegas, the oasis in the desert. So he just stayed there the whole week. And when he returned to his faraway home, he told everyone about Las Vegas and how disappointing it was. It has to have happened. Adam Egan and I eat fried bread and molasses, and the waiter says he knows me from somewhere. I point to my hat. No, he says. I point to my jacket. No, he says. I point to my shirt. No, he says. Hey, aren't you the fellow who lives at Sullivan's boarding house, he says, down near the Nickel in Los Angeles? Why, I knew you 2 years ago, and you still owe me a sawbuck. Fine, I say, and pay him the $10. Then I tell him to get us a fresh pot of coffee, and I start to tell Adam Egan my plan. I guess I can't in all honesty call it my plan, on account of the way it came to me all at once, without thinking. I was just standing on stage at the world-famous Comedy Store, getting no laughs, when a picture brightened my mind. It was as if another man's well-thought-out plan had been magically planted in my head. This is the plan, Adam Egan. As you know, I have no money. I am as broke as Christ himself. And this is because I've lost all my money. I've lost all my money on games of chance. But it has come to me that losing all this money has given me something just as valuable. Adam Egan looks puzzled. What is as valuable as money? I pause and look him in the eye. I want him to understand the plan the first time, so I don't have to repeat it over and over again and field all manner of follow-up questions. Good credit, that's what. Debts paid, that's what. I've always paid off my markers, so I have very good credit. And when you don't owe the casino, in a funny way, the casino owes you. I don't follow, says Adam Egan, and he smokes a Marlboro Red and fills his mouth with fried bread and molasses. That's the way it works in Las Vegas. You pay your markers promptly, and you build up trust. See, Vegas works on odds. If you've always lost and paid your markers, odds say you'll just keep on doing the same thing. Adam Egan nods. Yeah, I got you. Sure. But his eyes are dim as dusk, and I know he still doesn't follow. I don't have but $200 to my name. But Las Vegas doesn't know that. I've got a line of credit with the biggest casinos in the city. Why, between the Mirage, Harrah's, Caesars, and the Horseshoe, I have over $1 million in credit. Adam Egan's eyes become marginally less dim. So, we get these casinos to lend you the million, but then we don't gamble with it. We take a powder and drive straight north to old Mexico, he farts loudly. No, Adam Egan. The casinos give you chips, and you can only use the chips to gamble. And if you win, you must pay off your markers and can only keep your winnings. Adam Egan smiles and nods wisely, and when he does, molasses drips slowly down onto his chin and then begins to harden. So, the plan is to win, then. Well, of course, that's always the plan, but this time it's only Plan A. You see, I have a Plan B. I've never had a Plan B before, but this time I do. Adam Egget puts what is left of his cigarette into his mouth, but it is very short now, and a full third of it is orange ember. He tries to pull the cigarette from his mouth, but it is stuck to his molasses-covered lips. So instead, his fingers slide down and fix upon the ember. It takes him a considerably longer time to feel the pain than a smarter man would take, but when he does, he jumps to his feet and yelps loudly. He digs at the ember embedded in his thumb until it finally dislodges. "Son of a bitch bastard!" he shouts, and an uproar of laughter fills the coffee shop at Whiskey Pete's. Adam Egget finishes his fine burlesque with a stupid smile to the laughing patrons. I wait with the patience of Job. Plan A, I bet my million until I have a million in profit. Then I quit gambling forever. I quit everything. I'm a certified, genuine millionaire. I buy a ranch in Montana and sit on my porch all day and drink Wild Turkey 101 and watch other men work for me. Well, that sounds like heaven, Adam Egget says, one hand on his sore lip, the other in a glass of ice water. Yes, I say, but a heaven where I am God and the men who work for me are men. What's Plan B, says Adam Egget. Plan B is to lose the entire million. I study Adam Egget's face for a reaction to my provocative comment. But then I see in his eyes that a delayed, more powerful wave of pain is hitting his small brain. Ow! He screams, and the coffee shop explodes in laughter once again as Adam Egget jumps to his feet and begins to dance from table to table. I wait again. I have the patience of Job. And when he's finally done, I tell him the rest of Plan B. Have you ever heard of a script doctor, Adam Egget? Sure, Norm. Those are those smart fellows from Harvard who punch up screenplays to make them funnier. I laugh at the innocence. You've been living in Hollywood too long. The real script doctors sell magic. Not cheap. Not cheap at all. There's a drug named Dilaudid. It costs $10,000. A small dose proves lethal. I have a friend in Vegas named Gabe who knows a script doctor who can provide me with this drug. If I lose, I simply put it in my blood, say my prayers, lay down, and die in my free bed. So that's Plan B, huh? Yes. And when I get to heaven, I tell God that I died better than broke. In my last act, I stole $1 million from some of the devil's boys. Well, I figure that ought to impress God just fine. So either way, you win. That's the idea. I can tell it's finally sinking in. Where do I fit in? If I win, you become my head ranch hand and make 5% more money than the other ranch hands and get beaten far less often. Sounds good, Adam Egget beams. Do I get my own horse? No. But what if you lose and kill yourself? Then where do I fit in? I guess that would hurt most men. A guy you've known for 20 years asking what he gets when you toss away your soul in a Las Vegas hotel room. But I understand the ways of men, all right. Everybody's in it for himself. Adam Egget's just like everyone else. And my Plan B also takes care of him after I murder myself in cold blood. You're the one who finds me dead. And you cry and shake like a little girl, the way you did just a minute ago. Then later, you write a book about me, and they pay you money. But I can't write. I'm not smart enough. Don't worry about that, Adam Egget. For idiots like you, they provide a ghostwriter. A ghostwriter is a man blessed with bright talent, but cursed with dim luck. The brilliant ghostwriter will do all the work and receive a pittance, while you, an illiterate fool, will be given a king's ransom. Ha ha! That's God's great joke, my son.
My name's Keen. I'm a ghostwriter. Nothing you have read in this book has been written by Mr. McDonald. That is my job, to write these sorts of books for these sorts of people. But this one I was excited about. I was a very, very big fan of Norm McDonald. Was.